Today's reading is in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now, from about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs also were opened. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. So Jesus was hanging on the cross. Many people were mocking him. Verse 34, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but he wouldn't drink it. But in today's reading, we see him being offered something else, sour wine, putting it on a reed and giving it to him to drink. This would have had an effect of sort of waking him up or startling him. And he was able to then cry out with a loud voice. If you remember, we've talked before about how one would be on the cross and what effect it had on their body. They had to lift themselves up for every single breath that they would take. And so he's, between the scourging and the crucifixion, he's completely exhausted by this point. Imagine if you had to lift yourself up by your arms, all of your weight, for every breath that you took. How long could you do it? I dare say I wouldn't last that long. And remember, he's been up all night. He's been scourged. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. He's carried the beam at least part of the way up the hill. And now he's hanging on the cross, having to lift himself for every single breath. He's in agony. He's in torment. And that leads to these cries out that he has, such as him asking, my God, why have you forsaken me? And of course, the crowd misunderstands this. They interpret it as meaning that he's calling for Elijah. And this is the end of what Matthew records for Jesus on the cross. And so the last thing in this account is him being ridiculed, him being forsaken, and him being misunderstood. Of course, this is a quotation from Psalm 22, which contains some descriptions of the suffering at that time. In Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8, it says, All who see me mock me, they make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. And that's very similar to what's being stated here in this account in Matthew. So the psalmist describes a situation of pain and hunger and people gambling for his clothes. And in that state, they cry out to God, Why have you forsaken me? Now, Psalm 22 is written by David. And if you look at verses 21 through 24, you see that David is rescued by God. Jesus may lament his suffering, but he knows that he will be rescued by God, not off of the cross, for that is the will of the Father, in order to complete the plan for salvation of man. But he understands that he will be rescued. You see, Jesus died on that cross, but he didn't die because he was forsaken. He died for a purpose. And it states here that there were some that had been following Jesus and ministering to him. I'm always impressed by that. There's not a lot of mention of these women within the New Testament, but I am impressed that they followed Jesus from Galilee and were ministering to him. It says many women and then mentions Mary Magdalene, the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. I'm not sure how big a number many is, but it's more than these three, and that they are experiencing much of the hardship that the disciples were experiencing because they placed a value on serving and of ministering to Jesus and the others. I think sometimes it's a value for us to realize that if people that did things like this sort of in the background were not serving in that way, then the people that are in the foreground would never be able to do their work to the same extent that they do. And I think there is of great value, and I think that it was an honor paid upon these women that they are mentioned here at the death of Jesus. In fact, I would even add to that that maybe they had a little more courage and dedication than even the disciples, or at least many of the disciples, because they did not flee. They are here at the crucifixion of Jesus. We have no mention of any of the others. Maybe they could have been watching from a distance as well. Maybe it was a big enough crowd that they could have blended in and they're there watching. I don't know. But these women are named by Matthew directly, and I think that's an honor that's paid upon them. Notice also, again, what happens when Jesus dies. For 3 hours there was darkness over all the land. So from noon to 3 o'clock, that high noon as we might state, when the sun is directly overhead, the sun did not shine. It stopped shining for 3 hours. It was darkness. In addition to this, you have the curtain of the temple. It is a very heavy curtain that you could put several men on each side of it, and they could not tear such a curtain. Yet, when Jesus dies, that curtain is torn in two. It was done by God in order to open the way unto him through Jesus and to signify that Jesus was truly the Christ. You had an earthquake, you had rocks that were splitting, you had tombs that were opened. Those that were in the tombs, some of them were resurrected, and they were going into the city and appearing to many. An instance that, as far as I know, God never did that in any other time. This is because the Son of God died. That's how incredible this event was. And it's humbling to think about Jesus dying because he cared about my salvation and your salvation. That's something for us to take very seriously today as we think on these things. And I ask that when you engage yourself in prayer today, that you pray that God will be with us all.